Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Outspoken with White and Jordan. 100% engagement.
It's a total disrespect.
Download, stand well back, listen. Jim White and Simon Jordan.
I don't see that view.
Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. I'm Jim White, and today myself, Simon and Danny Murphy discuss the race for Premier League football in the Championship. With three wins on the bounce, are Southampton the ones with the momentum? Elsewhere in the EFL, Portsmouth have been promoted back to the Championship. Are they on the verge of producing another rags-to-riches story? With 100 days to the start of the Paris Olympics, we're joined in studio by Team GB breaker Kid Karam. And we ask, where should an Olympic medal rank in a footballer's trophy cabinet? Plus, Arsenal travel to Bayern Munich tonight, live on Talk Sport with the tie level at 2-2. Are they in danger of becoming the perennial nearly team? This is Outspoken with White and Jordan. Let's focus on the Championship, because last night Southampton, Danny, beat Preston by 3-0. Now 5 points off the leaders Ipswich with a game in hand. Is it very much going to be 2 from 4 in this automatic race? You get Ipswich, Leicester, Leeds, Southampton.
It's difficult for Southampton because of their goal difference. So even if they win the game in hand, they're still behind. They also need 2 of the 3 to mess up.
They're playing them.
Are they playing both, are they? So they are hugely in it. Yeah, Leeds. Yes, then, is the answer to your question. I didn't realise they were playing them. Yeah, they got Leeds away, haven't they, on the last day, I think. Fascinating stuff. You still fancy the top two. I don't know why, Ipswich and Leicester. They seem to have been there the most. I know Leeds are a huge club, and they've thrown it away, haven't they, with those two home games to Sunderland and Blackburn. Never expected that. They could be sitting top now.
But the thing is, Simon, Southampton have got momentum.
They have.
Three wins on the spin. So Russell Martin's on the charge a bit. He spoke post-match following the 3-0 win over Preston.
I think it changes the landscape a little bit. It changes the dynamic. We were written off quite some time ago, and the players have stuck at it. They've been so resilient, so together. And then when they can play like this tonight, and we just need to live there now in terms of that intensity and the courage to play football.
I think they'll be there or thereabouts, Simon.
If I'm either at Leicester or Leeds at this moment in time, I would be pretty anxious given the fact I've got to play Southampton. Southampton, if you look at the last five games these teams have played, Southampton have taken 10 points, Leeds have taken 5, Leicester have taken 6, and Ipswich have taken 8. So they're the form size. I got a sneaking suspicion that Southampton are going to edge in.
At whose expense?
I don't know, but they've got to play both Leicester and Leeds. Ipswich, you know, have gone on a great run of form. They go and lose to Norwich in the big derby game, which makes no sense. But I just think Southampton have got the real momentum. They made light work of Preston last night, and Preston aren't mugs. They're a decent side that was still potentially having a little outside chance of getting near the playoffs, and they've smashed them 3-0. I just think the Southampton are the ones to really watch now, and I think that them playing, you know, Leicester and Leeds.
You know, sometimes in football you see a story. The Ipswich one, maybe it's just meant to be. They're the small dog in the fight, aren't they? When you look at the other three and the wage bills and the squads and coming up from League One, going under the radar,
yeah.
You know, I if I was to choose one out of the four, I'd say Ipswich should do it. It's just sometimes football just does it. It throws these beautiful stories.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of mutual respect flying around. I spoke to Kieran McKenna on Sunday night, and he was talking about Russell Martin. Do not discount Southampton. And, of course, last night showed that we should not discount Southampton.
I heard that. I think it was yesterday's show.
Yeah.
He sounded like he was enjoying the chat with you, Jim.
He very much was. He very much. I'm enjoying this chat with you this morning because you're very much feisty and up for the battle, which I like.
It was actually a compliment. I'm deadly serious.
Oh, I see.
He sounded engaged. He was like, yes. He spoke really well.
Well, he had just won Championship Manager of the Year.
That's true.
So he was very happy.
Very selfless.
But, I mean, it shows you what, you know, we always go on, Simon, about the Championship. It's a brutal division, but it is. I mean, two to go up automatically from Ipswich, Leicester, Leeds and Southampton. And there's a fair old battle still going on. So,
absolutely.
I mean, when it gets to the playoffs, it will indeed live up to the brutal tide.
Well, I think, you know, having been in that division as an owner for a number of years and seeing how competitive it was then, I think you look at this nature of this league and you look at four sides trying to squeeze into two positions with all of them having real legitimate claims at very top-end point levels. Mm. You're talking about the competitivity. You're talking about a series of sides. Hull are still in touching distance of getting inside the playoffs. I think it's a brilliant league. And, you know, of course, then you go to the bottom of the league and you've got teams that are fighting to stay in it and are swapping positions on a weekly basis.
Right.
You know, from Huddersfield and Birmingham and Sheffield Wednesday still in it. I mean, Rotherham are gone. But I think it's I think whoever doesn't get promoted, I think the playoffs will be equally as intriguing. I mean, what Southampton don't want to have is all the momentum going into the last three games of the season and find themselves nipped out of it and then having to carry that momentum into the playoffs, because that's a difficult thing to do.
Well, Paul from Portsmouth's gone a bit early. All right, you're not going to mention Portsmouth's achievements this season then, are you? Yes, we are. Of course we are, Paul. You went early in that because elsewhere, Portsmouth came from behind to beat Barnsley 3-2, sealing promotion back to the Championship for the first time since 2012. And the story here of the man who's guided them to it is an intriguing one. John Massino has taken them up. This is John last night.
When I first took the job, it was a bit of an eyebrow raiser, I think, and everybody basically said, you know, who the hell's he? Which was fine, and we understood that. We completely got that. There was a method behind the madness, and that was right from the sporting director all the way up to the top, and obviously I think the guys at the top trusted Rich Hughes with making the appointment alongside sort of Andy Cullen and Tony Brown, and I don't know yet. It's beyond what I expected. I knew that the remit of this football club would be to get back into the Championship. I 100% knew that coming in. I just didn't think it would happen this quickly.
I mean, John Messina has spoken to us in here before, Simon, and he's impressed us, hasn't he? He took over his first head coach job just in January there, having previously been involved as a player and a coach at Oxford United. Now they've got promotion. He has wasted no time whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, Portsmouth is a big football club. And, you know, I looked at it a few years ago when it dropped out of the Premier League, and Balu Shanroy was the owner, and there was an opportunity for me to do a deal there, and the Supporters Trust put together their own consortium, and it didn't feel sensible to go against the very people that you wanted on side, given the fact that they were adamant they could buy the football club themselves. I think John would have been better served not necessarily tooting his horn quite so much there about the fact that nobody wanted him in the door. You've done the job fantastically. Other people say that.
He's just been honest, was he not?
Well, I know, but I don't think it was necessary to say there was a few eyebrows raised about the job, because ultimately that then puts him on into a position where people will look at him in a different way.
I mean,
if he was
going to toot his own horn, this would be the time to do it.
Yeah, I guess so, but I think other people can do it for you. I think your achievements are there. I think if someone else came out and said, Ed, this guy wasn't even fancied by anybody, I don't think he needed to have said it. But the fact is, he's done a brilliant job. You know, you've got teams in that league like Derby that will have had expectations and will probably go up themselves, but had expectations of perhaps winning the league. But Portsmouth, it's been a long time coming. Let's not be under any illusion.
Yeah.
They've had a decent ownership model for some time. Michael Eisner and Disney went in there a while ago. They decided they weren't going to do it on the back of a sort of Daddy Warbucks mentality of throwing cash, enormous amounts of cash at it. But this is a club that's got a really significant fan base that supports the team even when they're right down the bottom of the pyramid, which they have been in the third tier of English football for a period of time now. And John's gone in there. When he's come on this show previously, despite his attachment to the PFA, which I always think is a black mark against somebody, I think when he's gone out and managed, I think he's done a really good job and deserves all the plaudits. And now we'll see what Portsmouth do when they land in a Championship, because there's no point getting out of the Championship and then getting out of the League One and finding yourself back in the Championship, because economically you don't want to go to battle in there. Sheffield Wednesday have just done it. Peterborough often do it. They go up and they come back down again. Portsmouth have the sort of gravitas and size of football club like Sheffield Wednesday have to being competitive in the Championship.
Well, one thing I thought about Messina, Danny, I don't know if you've met him, we have in here and I've met him elsewhere. He's got sincerity about him. He's extremely sincere about what he does. He was sincere about his efforts at the BFA, Simon. He's gone about this job absolutely like a bull at a gate, and it's worked for him. It's worked for him.
I've not met him, so I can't comment. All you can say is that anyone who goes into a job and does that in his first season is doing something right, isn't he? So it's a big test for them now, and Simon's right. There's going to have to be some recruitment. What would you think they'd have? What does a League One club need to spend, would you say, Simon, as a red ballpark to be competitive in a championship?
It depends what you're talking about. It depends if you're talking about wages or if you're talking about transfer fees. I mean, the difference is that it's not that huge amount of money. You're getting about £4-5 million a year additional in TV broadcast revenues, and that doesn't cut it in that league. So you're going to have to be prepared to have the owner step in and say, right, well, we're here now. And
but aren't they restricted even if they've got the money? Isn't it?
I don't know what Portsmouth's finances are. I don't know how they've been managing their finances and whether they're falling comfortably within the confines of FFP, so they've got plenty of bandwidth.
Yeah.
But notwithstanding that, you know, they go in with momentum. They're going to win. You know, obviously they've won the league. It looks like they've won it at a canter now. And they've got the scale of support. So, look, Moutinho's done a good job, no doubt about it. And my observations about him tooting his own horn is purely and simply because I think his work speaks for himself. He doesn't need to speak to it.
Yeah.
You know, he can allow others to do that.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
100% engagement. Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Well, now, the flame has been lit and the countdown to the greatest show on earth is finally underway. Today marks 100 days until the Olympic Games begin, and TalkSport will be in Paris to bring you the very best of the action as official radio broadcaster. The Olympics, the 2024 Summer Olympics. But as we know, and Danny has been reminding me through in the office here, there's a number of new sports coming into this. It will also introduce the sport of breaking. Break dancing to you and I. B-boying, B-girling, or break dancing. But breaking is the current term that we should use, and we will use that. And it's going to be in the Olympics. And Team GB breaker, Kid Karam, but we'll call you Karam, or Karam, has joined us live here in the studio. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. You're from Derby, right?
Yep, Derby.
And you do all your training, your breaking training, in the garage?
Most of it, yeah. So at home, I have my garage outside. I've kind of designed it and done it up. So we have a very good community space for myself and the youngsters from Derby.
Right. Did you ever think, when you set out on this that it would become a recognised Olympic sport?
Absolutely not. Honestly, absolutely not.
No. And now that it has, how do you feel about it? I mean, is it there on merit?
I feel very proud that it's made it to where it is. I feel like it deserves its place there. It has been a sport for quite a while now. If you look at sport, it's something that's competitive in a physical manner. And the hours we put in, the training we do, is just like any other athlete. But what I will say is that when I say I'm really proud for it to be there, because for a long time it didn't really fit in the dance sort of side of things traditionally, and it didn't really fit into the sport side of things. So it's provided with a massive definition, and it gives us a platform and a place to stay.
Do you know, I watch a lot on social media of the dance, different types of breakdancing, freestyling and all that, and I think it has got merits, because when you think of some of the other sports in the Olympics, I mean, we were joking around it, but actually, you know, things like archery, curling, clay pigeon shooting, just to name a few. Mm. I mean, these guys are super strong, super talented, spend years dedicating their life to it.
Yeah.
And if you even watch snippets, go online and have a look, it's incredible what these lads
can do. Well, I had a look before you came in this morning, and it's pretty mind-blowing. Simon and I will attempt some of those moves later on.
Love that.
when the building is closed. But talk us through it. Talk us through some of the training routines and the routines you actually do when you perform for real.
Yeah, so in training, normally you're training 5 or 6 days a week, but you could be training 5 days a week and competing 2 days on the weekend. In a training day, we're doing 1 to 2 hours of working out. For me personally, it's a lot of body weight sort of stuff, working in high intensity sort of heart rate zones with a PT. I then do 45 minutes to an hour of stretching a day, and 2.5 to 3 hours of break in training a day. So we're looking at 5 or 6 hours a day of training. And then it's a very cultural thing also. And in order to be at the best, you have to travel, you have to compete, you have to earn your rep, whether that's locally or globally. So we're traveling most weekends, almost every weekend of the month, in busy season to compete all around the globe to sort of be the best in a competition. In a sporting aspect now, where we are, you're looking at doing 20 rounds per weekend, or 20 rounds per day sometimes, which is, wow. If you imagine a 100-meter sprint, maybe, I guess, we're doing 20 times that, from going from 0 to 100, multiple times, basically.
How long would a routine be then?
It can be anything from around 30 seconds to a minute, but it's totally up to you. It all depends on your tactics as well, you know, and what sort of dancer you are. If somebody does a really long round, you can hit them with a really short one to tie them out and then go again. But you're looking at 2 to 3 rounds every single round.
And how do the judges score it, Cam? How do they go about scoring it? Looking at you and thinking, yeah, he stands out from the rest.
Yeah, so there's 9 judges, and we have the fundamentals of breaking the foundations. We have top rock, footwork, power moves and freezes alongside a bunch of other things. But the way that they score it is there's 3 main categories, and then there's subcategories. So there's the body, which is the physical aspect, how clean you are, your execution, the mind, which is the creativity, because it's not really about what you do, it's how you do it. You have to be original and creative. And then the soul is how you interpret what's going on around you, from the music, how you interact with the music, how you interact and conversate with your opponent, and how you take in what's going on sort of in the room.
Who are the strongest competitors? Is it Americans?
A lot of people tend to think it is the Americans, and they are definitely right up there. But because it's so individual based, with it being in the Olympics as a solo sport, there's a lot of countries that might not spring to mind straight away that have that one person who's incredible. So I'll name a few that are right up there. You've got Kazakhstan. You've got Canada, who had an athlete that was number one and is number one currently. But America is right up there. Japan is also right up there.
I was
going to
say the Japanese.
And are there any Scots in the UK breaking team?
There isn't, unfortunately, on this one. we did have somebody that was in the qualification process from Scotland, but unfortunately, only 3 of us males have made it to their final qualifiers.
I mean, Simon, you've got to think.
It's not like Scotland to fall away, is it, before the final?
Shut up, Danny. creativity, personality, technique, variety, performativity. And obviously, Karim's gone through the extent that they train for it. This boy is super fit. Is it an Olympic sport in your eyes?
Well, I mean,
you're old, let me remember.
No, I mean, you've got a litany of other sports that are going in there that are new evolutions. You've got skateboarding in there, you've got surfing in there, you've got sport climbing in there. So if you look at, you know, if you look at this particular activity in this sport and you look at it as a combination of the way that it's scored. You can bring gymnastics into it. You can bring ice skating into it because you've got routines, and it's about how these things are scored. And it's also about evolving the Olympics. We can all be traditionalists and say this flies in the face of what the Olympics was created for. But things need to move on. There's another generation of people that are watching the Olympics, and you want the next audience to come with you. And I don't really have a view whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. If it's a sport that the Olympic and the IOC want to bring into the framework, then why not? And if it brings eyes on a prize, I mean, Danny obviously can spin on his head because he's got the ability to do that follically.
It's easy with no air, mate.
Follically, yeah. That's why I said follically. Yeah. So I think it would be interesting. Absolutely.
Karen, what has your own journey been like to get to this point in your own sport?
For me, like I said, originally, I would have never, ever imagined it to be in the Olympics.
No, so how old are you, if you don't mind?
I'm 26,
right,
and I started 18 years ago.
18
so,
years ago?
Yeah, so I started at a really young age from watching music videos and then attending classes. And for me, I'm quite the person where I want to be 100% or nothing, so I wanted to be the best and on the biggest stages, whatever that would have meant at that age. But so I just train. At around 10, I think I was the youngest person to ever step on the world champ stage in breaking. So I did that. I then got flown out to multiple different countries to compete at big competitions. The organisers would fly me out. I'd then go all around the world, compete, then go through my teen years. And then around about 16, I thought to myself, you know, I really want to give this a crack and see if I can make a living out of it. So I flew myself to America. I won about 4 events over there.
You paid your own way?
Yeah, I paid my own way, yeah. And then I just wanted to make a living from it, basically. So then I went out there, I smashed it over there, got a lot of eyes on me, I earned my stripes. And then I started to get flown out to all these major events, started to do really well, started really winning a lot. And then I was competing at the big events for Red Bull and stuff like that. And then the Olympic announcement came, and then we've had a grueling 18 months of qualifying, where it's gone from thousands down to the last 40 now. And we've been to Japan, Korea, Brazil, just to do these qualifying events.
Oh, mate. So, do you tip yourself to be a medal winner?
Absolutely, yeah.
Gold medal winner.
Yeah, absolutely, definitely. If I wasn't in it for that, then I'd just not do it at all. I'm 100% or nothing. I got silver in the European Championships. Missed out on a few rounds against France, so I'm looking to get some revenge in their home country.
You've had an interesting pathway here. It wasn't that long ago, am I right, that you were answering phone calls at Sky?
That's correct. Yeah, I was a sales operative at Sky.
Right, most of them complaining about me. But I mean, we all do things along the way to get where we've got to. Sometimes I wonder where we've got to.
Yeah,
but you know, it's a phenomenal journey you've had. You're not afraid of hard work. You're dedicated at whatever you do, Karen. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I see it as I go to work to get paid, and then I go home and do my job. That's the way I see it. Yeah.
Are you ready now? If the Olympics was tomorrow, it's 100 days to go, but would you be ready tomorrow to compete?
I think I'd be more ready tomorrow than in 100 days, to be honest. No, I think it's one of those things with breaking. It's like it sits in different places. You can choose your extreme, whether you want to be the best in the world or whether you want to do it for enjoyment. So all of the time we are training, no matter what. We have aside of the sporting events, we have massive cultural events that we're constantly preparing for, and they help us set up nicely for these sporting events. So I've just got back from America. Next weekend I'm going to France, and they're all cultural events. So the start of the year has been very grueling, very good for training. It's been very consistent. So right now I'm very ready to go whenever I'm needed to.
I've got to ask you quickly, because I did ask these two, and I am showing my age, but have you seen breakdance?
Of course I have.
Of course you have.
Of course I have, yeah.
How have you not seen that?
Classic.
Ozone and Turbo.
From the 80s.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's one of Danny's favourites, Karen. Yeah,
well, he looks like a refugee from the film.
Yeah.
Even back then it was quality.
It is.
This Olympics, as you'll know, we were talking about this the other day, in athletics, some of the gold medal winners are in line to pick up prize money. 50 grand if you get a gold. What's your take on that? If you win gold, would you want 50K?
I think if you win gold, there's nothing bigger than that in itself. Winning is winning. For me, it's all about, it's about the journey, not always the destination, but I want to leave a massive positive impact on the world. But of course, any money bonus is absolutely incredible, because we're very new. We're in a new era, we're in a new sport. It's the first time we've ever had sponsorships and brand partnerships and cash prizes like this. So I think it'd be absolutely amazing if obviously we was to be able to be rewarded with that, because it can then set us up for what's next in our sport.
You know what I'm going to ask you before you go today? I mean, we're on radio, we're on TalkSport Live, but the show is on YouTube and Facebook. There's a camera on me, there's one on Mr. Jordan, there's one on Ukaram at the moment, which would normally be on Danny, and will be on Danny when he sits back in your seat. So there are cameras about, but it's a fairly, it's a 17th floor of the news building. You don't have a lot of space. In that area behind you, providing no one comes through the door with Simon's cappuccino, which is normally delivered at this time, are you able to give us a little hint of what you can do?
I reckon I could do a move or two for you.
Move or two? Yeah. Let's do it. Okay. Do you need Danny to sit around here with me?
Yeah, probably. I'll use that space there if possible, and then...
We're picking it up, are we? I'm sure we're picking it up on YouTube and Facebook. This is a treat for everybody out there. Karim, please, mate, with the Olympics 100 days away, don't injure yourself just because I've asked you to do that. We can see you. Look at that. So we're watching you live on YouTube and Facebook. That's Danny Murphy's puffer jacket over that chair on the far side.
Well, nobody cares about that.
All right. Nobody cares about that. You don't need your own music. You just do your own thing.
Right. I'm just doing a few tricks. So.
You're pacing up and down. Is this part of the build-up? Simon is watching from distance.
Yep.
So am I. Ready? So is Danny. It's all yours, Karim. Sensational. Wow. Oh, what? Ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't see that on YouTube and Facebook, if you just listened to it in TalkSport, every move that Karim attempted, he pulled off magnificently well.
I'm hot just watching.
You're not even out of breath.
No, I'm all right. That one's an easy one, that.
Mate, that what do you make of that, Simon?
Very good.
Come on, Simon. Up, you're up.
Absolutely.
Karim, that was nothing short of fabulous, mate.
Thank you.
You've convinced me I should be watching breaking at the Olympics, and I'm rooting for you, mate. I'd love you to win gold.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. You get it all in TalkSport, don't you? On YouTube and Facebook as well. 100 days to go, and that very much has wet the whistle for the Olympics in Paris.
Hard-edged, hard-nosed, hard to beat. Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Well, that was the first, wasn't it? Olympic breakdancing on the radio. When Kid Karim has come and gone, Team GB breaker. He spoke very well, Simon, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, actually. Very bright young man. And if you know, whether you're interested in the sport or whether you think it should be part of the Olympics, he came on and pushed his case forward. Mm. The manner in which he conducted himself, you can see him being a poster boy for this particular activity, sport, whatever you want to categorise it as. And I don't actually have a problem with the principle of the Olympics evolving. I think that you can't stick to formats that forever and a day. It's nice to have the pure values and the traditionalism of it, but you do have to evolve because there's another generation coming behind that has different value sets and consume television and sport differently. So I think it's part and parcel of the Olympics' responsibility. Absolutely. To maintain its legacy by maintaining its position in society and looking at what society's doing.
And do you think the Olympics would maybe not die, but certainly would not have been the same standing, if you like, if they didn't introduce new sports from time to time, like breaking?
I think it's challenged because of the dominance of other sports. I think athletics is often challenged. If you listen to Sebastian Coe and his views on it and what it needs to do, I think he understands the need to evolve. You know, you've got all these arguments going on about transgender compatibility inside the Olympic Forum and the position that's been taken by the IOC on this, and new sports coming in. I think, you know, I think they should be trialled. I think they should be looked at. And I don't think people should get so sort of up in arms about, oh, hang on a second, the Olympic values. Well, we go back to the original Olympic disciplines and some of them are not there anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, there are always questions around what's acceptable and what is not when it comes to the Olympic.
I'd like to see a breakdance of a shot put, though.
Yes, that would be interesting.
Why would you do that?
Why? Because that would impress me.
It's a lack of respect, though, isn't it?
It's not a lack of respect.
You've just said so many positive things, and he has to spoil himself.
Oh, yeah, he had to come in with one. Now that Karim's left the studio.
Just because you say something to lighten the subject doesn't mean the subject's taken lightly.
Mm. Okay. There's a nice message.
Oh, crazy legs over there.
Listen to the breaker on the radio there. It sounded like Simon had dropped his wallet with the thud that when it hit the floor. Macron, the French president, Danny, is saying we're going to do everything to ensure that European clubs allow footballers to be available for the Paris Olympics. The French, of course, want the likes of Mbappe, Tchouameni, Camavinga. They want them involved. I mean, is this an Olympic sport?
Well, I mean,
would you cherish a gold medal if you've been asked to play for the Team GB at the Olympics?
Careless to me. Most footballers would tell you the same. They might look. The reality is,
Mbappe says it would be a dream to win it.
Well, that's what. Okay, you might get the odd exception. Is this the same footballers who are whinging about playing too many games? I you know what I mean. You can't have it one way.
Well, that's
or another.
A good point.
The reality is that if you're club manager and you're playing for Liverpool, you're playing for Real Madrid. You think if GB had a team and Madrid are going to let Jude Bellingham go and play? Do you think that's going to be something they want him coming back injured from a?
It won't be their gift, though, will it?
No, I mean, but he. What happens, Simon?
But I don't actually believe that the players complain that much. I think what players do is they follow in behind managers because managers do the complaining, and then players use it as an opportunity to build in some ready-made whining or excuses because that's what they feel like doing at the time.
I agree.
I think that, you know, if this is billed in a certain way, and you do get elite athletes performing in the sports, in tennis, you've certainly seen the top tennis players going playing, and it's they attach value to it. And whilst I could care less what Macron says, the point is that there is some value to this, and Olympic gold still have significant representation. And
not in football. It doesn't
mean they don't because it's not categorised that way. But you're sort of scoffing about the idea that Mbappe is suggesting that he wants to play. And I don't understand.
Well, no, he might want to play. Fair enough. It's up to him. Everyone's individual.
And it will be up to him.
The majority of footballers I grew up with and played with, the last thing they'd want to be doing in the summer is going to play in the Olympics.
Well,
because their priority is their country in terms of
would you
see the World
League Cup winner's medal? Say, absolutely. League Cup winner's medal for an Olympic gold.
No chance. It doesn't mean anything in football.
An Olympic gold.
The Olympics for many years of football was a chance for the South American teams to play their young superstars, the under-21s, 23 teams, and go over and play some football. The competition has never been thought of as anything serious.
But I think that's a rather sad attitude, actually. I think that's a rather myopic, one-dimensional attitude because I understand that traditionally you look at the fact that, you know, playing for your country, but these are not excluded from that. This is not a mutually exclusive situation where you play for your country and subsequently you play for Team GB. If you get a chance to win an Olympic gold in anything, because of the cachet of the Olympics, I would have thought that most significant footballers would have felt that that's another opportunity to be recognised for something rather unique.
I mean, Andy Murray's got an Olympic gold and he cherishes it. He loves the fact he won it.
Well,
tennis is a little bit different.
I just think
you're
a bit of a miserable scroat and it might not have been asked in the first place.
I mean, the other thing is, you're playing for GB, they're going to have tokenism
of... You're lyrical about breakdancing because some reason you sit in your bedroom watching it, like, but when you've got footballers doing it, all of a sudden you're not happy about it.
You think it's farcical. Don't give me that.
The
other problem, you know, you play for England, you play for your club side, and then you're asking to play for GB where it's not going to be the best team available because they need the token gesture Welsh guy, the token gesture Irish.
That's a good point.
The token gesture Scottish guy.
We've got a of Scots in there as
exactly.
Well.
Exactly. So it makes it farcical.
Would you swap your Community Shield medal for an Olympic gold?
No.
What?
Yeah, but it is diminished by having the Scots and the Welsh.
We beat Man United in front of 80,000 people, so no chance.
Yeah, the game itself, yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. Where is your Community Shield medal?
I haven't got a clue.
There you go. Your Olympic gold would be in the lounge where any passing burglar could
be
see it.
On eBay if it's like, I know Danny.
Yeah.
That's a nice message. No name in it. I genuinely think breaking is going to be the highlight of the Paris Games. Really enjoyed listening to it, kid. Can't wait to watch it. And the best of luck to young Karam. I agree with him. Whoever sent that message. 100 days to go.
Who?
Unfortunately,
Bruno Tonelli.
No Scots in the breaking team, but I'll just need to live with that and enjoy the breaking part of the Olympics when it comes along.
Your 100% essential download.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Bayern Munich against Arsenal tonight. Jim Proudfoot's over there, so too is Darren Bent for this one. And it's live in Talk Sport, 8 o'clock, if you want to tune in, and I'm sure you do. But are Arsenal going into this becoming in danger of being tagged the perennial nearly team? 5 seasons in, how much longer can Arsenal under Arteta continue to talk the talk but fail to walk the walk in the defining moments of a game? You know, they're having to get used to it. There's always noise in the background. That Arsenal, they bottle it come the big moment. Arteta was asked about that.
I cannot control that. I cannot take their phones, the TVs away, the people around them. We didn't lost anything last year because we didn't win anything. And first of all, you have to win it, and then maybe you can lose it. What we had is an unbelievable journey against the best team in the world here and in Europe in the last 7 years. And this is where we want to be. And we're not satisfied. We want to be better. And that's the level that we are competing with. So we'll try again our best till the last day to try to bring those cups and be successful.
2-2 as they go into this tonight from the first leg, Danny. What chance do you give Arsenal?
Good chance. Be tough, but a good chance. They've shown this season to me a progression from last season, irrelevant of where they are sitting in the table. They've taken 4 points off City, 4 points off Liverpool. you know, that in itself shows they can handle big games. To do it on four occasions against their main rivals. They've got themselves in the last eight of the Champions League for the first time in, what, over a decade, maybe longer. There's progression there, and there's a more mature squad mentality. Their performance level's been higher generally. They've scored the most goals, conceded the least. There's a lot of things to be positive about. Now, ultimately, you're judged on winning things and success. And the last 2 years, they've put themselves in the frame for success.
In the mix. It's all about end product, isn't it?
Well, I think this season particularly, there's an higher expectancy. One, because of how they did last year, and furthermore, because of the finances spent in the summer to bolster the squad. The only accusation in terms of recruitment is this ongoing, you know, striker thing. Should we have got a striker instead of spending 70 on Havertz? And there is an argument to that, so we'll see how that plays out. But overall, I think it's positive for Arsenal fans.
Yeah,
and I do think they've got a better chance going to Munich tonight than they would have this time last season, that's for sure.
Simon, I think it's fair to say you've changed your mind on Arteta a few times.
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Now, a few people can argue, all right, where are they? Look at where they're at. They're still going gung-ho for the title here.
Yeah. Yep.
And here they are, going into the second leg of a Champions League quarter-final tie against a not-so-firing in all cylinders Bayern Munich with the tie level.
Yeah.
There's every chance Arsenal can give the two fingers to the doubters and say, bottlers, we should have some of this.
Yeah, but you have to qualify this comment, bottlers, because it's not something that gets carried on in perpetuity. Just because you bottle something in one instance doesn't mean you go forward as a bottler.
Mm.
If you look at the situation with Arsenal last year, and people talk about this, they lost the league by 5 points. And in amongst that run of games, they dominated the Liverpool game and let Liverpool back in. Then they drew with West Ham, and then they drew with Southampton.
Yeah,
right? And Southampton was a relegated side. And then they lose to Brighton, and they lose to Forest. And you look at those games, and you say they got spanked by Man City 4-1 in the middle of that. If you look at those run of games and say Arsenal were in a box seat, and the reasons why the observations about them bottling it come to the fore is because they were in the box seat. This is a different dynamic now. They weren't in a box seat against Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich are an established European competitor that's dominated the Bundesliga for 11 years, and it's only half-time in this game. And they're competing in the Premier League with two other sides, and they're making a really strong challenge to win the league. They've not been in a situation where they've had clear daylight away from everybody else. No. They've not had a situation where they've been in control of their own destiny definitively for a significant period of time. Mm. And more importantly, when it comes to the business end of the season, which is where they fell away this year.
I hear what you're saying, Simon.
So I don't think the bottling comment should keep being brought up.
But you don't.
No,
I think it's bound to be brought up.
But yeah, because it's a lazy trope.
No, it's not.
It is.
I'll tell you why it's not. Arsenal took the lead against Bayern Munich in the first leg, and then Bayern Munich find their way back into it. What was the score at the weekend against Villa?
But that's, yeah, okay. They were tactically outfought.
And they went into it leading the
Hold on, that's their first defeat this year.
So Arteta,
that's their first defeat.
The media last night.
But that's a terrible thing.
That point is bound to be thrown out.
But this is what the media will do, right? It'll go, basically, I walked in the dressing room in my first season. I'm forever now, a chairman that goes in the dressing room because it's a lazy trope. Arsenal choked last season at a business. So they're going to be forever, whatever they do, bottlers, irrespective of the circumstances. And that's why I push back against it. In an individual game, you're going to have moments against top quality opposition where you don't get it your own way. The Aston Villa game, yeah, I didn't pick them to lose that game, and you have to give all the the due respect to the tactics of Unai Emery in the second half and see if Arteta has learned from that lesson.
Yeah.
But I look at this game and think to myself, I wouldn't be surprised if Arsenal go to Bayern Munich and get a result.
I hope
they don't, I don't look at it and go, aha, that's another example of Arsenal bottling it.
No, and say they go out tonight, and I hope that doesn't happen, I hope they go through, but say they go out tonight and say they don't win the Premier League, what do you call them?
I think they're a work in progress. I didn't expect them to win the league this year. I expected them to have a difficulty standing still.
5 years into Arteta's reign, a work in progress.
Well, 5 years and an
well,
FA
it's
Cup.
Klopp.
And ultimately, what, Arsenal haven't won the Premier League for 20 years.
It took Klopp 5 years.
It took Klopp five years. Three. Klopp's a media darling that got three or four finals, I think three finals certainly, that they lost. And he got an opportunity to build it. I think there's a lot more positive about Arsenal than there is negative. And I think it's really not good form to keep on suggesting that every time they come up against something that is not always overcomable, that they should be landed with a title bottleless.
I think one of the problems as well is when you're comparing and contrasting, because obviously City won the league last year, City are at the top again this year. You are comparing Arsenal's success against this wonderful team that has eclipsed probably any team we've seen in the Premier League before in terms of their consistency and their points tallies and goals scored and all that. Mm. So to be 2 points behind at this stage, most Arsenal fans would probably have taken it. It's like anything, Jim, isn't it? You know, you see a side progressing, playing well, and you're right near the summit, if you like, and you expect them to do something and you're excited by it and then you feel disappointed and deflated.
Yeah.
Simon's right. Arteta's not a failure. And Arsenal aren't, haven't bottled it if they don't
but
go through.
Bottling it
if
is
they
when
don't
you're,
go through
when you're
tonight.
Good enough to do something, but something's. Simply, Arsenal may not be at that point where they're a good enough side to win the competitions that they're participating in. They can get close to it. Now, if you're good enough to do something and for some reason or another, psychologically, you can't overcome it, that's bottling it. Now, Arsenal didn't lose the league last year because they got beat twice by Man City at the Emirates. They lost the league because in games like Southampton and West Ham, they choked. And if they'd have won those two games, they wouldn't have lost to Brighton and Nottingham Forest.
But they couldn't beat Liverpool City last year. And
no,
now
they
they've moved forward now. They have got a bigger game mentality.
Yeah. Well, actually, go on, Dan.
I was just going to say the one thing in the knockout competition, Jim, is, and this is the unfortunate thing, or fortunate, you know, Barca, up until the point the lad got sent off, were better than PSG. And PSG go through. Now, Arsenal could be better than Bayern tonight and actually dominate the game and still go out. Are they a failure then? That's the problem. Mm. If Arsenal go through on penalties, he's done a great job and everyone's buzzing. But anyone can lose on pens. This is knockout competition.
Of course.
I think the most important thing for Arsenal is to perform the level they have and they'll give themselves a chance. Now, if they go out tonight and get done 4-0, then there's some questions.
Then some big questions to be answered.
The world's most dangerous download.
Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. Please leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast from. We're back tomorrow to bring you the best of the show.